The whole journey is from sleep to awakening, unconsciousness to consciousness, from restlessness to peace. In this place, when you look around at the mountains, the sound of the river, the trees, you are reminded of the natural, of that which is peaceful, effortless, peaceful. And that is how nature is. And my invitation is to you to become more and more natural, more and more peaceful. But nobody's been teaching you this. The whole world is restless because the mind as such is restless, is always moving. So the search can only start when you at one point want to consciously slow down again, when you consciously want to find peace. Everybody is teaching you so many things. So in every heart, in every being, you want harmony. Every heart wants peace, wants love, wants silence. But because very few people are connected to the inner being, to their own heart, you look for so many other things that is just taking you away from peace, from that which is natural. So this only each individual have to see, to realize, to reflect on, to contemplate on, to meditate on. That's why always the mystics been saying truth will change you, the life you are living, because you will have to look. You might have had your own plans when you came, but now you are not so sure because something new is start coming into your life. That's why the mystic says be flexible. As your own understanding, your own consciousness is waking up, your own heart is waking up, now follow that new insight because it will change. The more you will see, the more your outside will change. On the outside is always action, restlessness. That's all what you know. That's how the societies are. That is how the mind is. Always becoming, never stopping. And to find peace, you have to become more and more inactive, more and more quiet, more and more slow. Only in the inactivity, only in the stopping, will you fall into that which is always there. It's not in doing. Now we're also going into silence. And for some people, especially maybe some of the new people, they're afraid of silence, which should be the most natural. But you have never faced yourself. You don't know silence. You don't know peace. So it's unknown. And the unknown can be very scary, because you don't know how to function there. You always have to do something. But peace is never found in doing. It's found in being. So if you are longing for silence, or if you are afraid of silence, or you have no idea and you are excited, then just be that open and explore yourself. Because all that action, all those dramas, all those games that we are used to, it doesn't work when you are in silence. When you don't disturb each other, when you don't connect. Because you are here to connect to yourself. If this is understood, you will be very happy, because you start consciously on the only real adventure, to come back to yourself, to know yourself. But if you are not there, that you don't understand, then it can be terrible. If you are not ready, if you are not ripe, if you don't have the understanding, because then you don't understand what you do. You have to be in it. If you are in it, you get results. And not only in it, you have to love it. You have to see the opportunity. Nobody is teaching silence, nobody is teaching peace, nobody is teaching relaxation, because they don't know it. They know restlessness, they know action, they know going for it, but we have totally forgotten this peaceful relaxation in activity. And the only way to find back to it is to consciously retrain yourself. That's why in the beginning I start with playful things and breathing and screaming and dancing, and then slowly deeper into the mind, inquiry, rebirthing, different therapy, different meditation. It's just to prepare you from all that restlessness. Till maybe you can just sit and enjoy doing nothing. That is what sitting is, just sitting with the Master, sitting with yourself, sitting with truth, heart to heart. But many people come and many things are happening because it's new. Maybe the greatest thing was to do a meditation. Maybe the greatest thing was to scream for the first time in your life, to breathe for the first time. You have great experiences. But it's just on the surface. It's just the preparation for meditation. So look at yourself and where you are, if you are ready or not. Because this readiness, it will say a lot. Then you will get a lot out of it. You have to have yourself in what you are doing. Otherwise the mind always, be prepared, they always want to do something. The mind is just movement. And meditation, your true being, is just stillness. So you have to learn slowly, slowly. You have to help yourself to slow down. Because you've been running for lifetimes. That's why all the mystics have these quiet meditations. But now the modern man is so restless that you have to go slowly. I have to take you step by step. That is the recipe. You can start with understanding. You are light years away from silence. The Buddha always said, go slow, be watchful, be alert. But you can't even do that if you are not conscious of what you are doing. You have to gradually come back so you have an understanding what you are doing. And this is what you have to do. You have to reprogram yourself. You have to start living more consciously, not unconsciously. And then it's much easier when you go slow. Because when you go slow, you can be more in your action. Otherwise, everybody is acting a lot, doing everything very quickly, but it's not consciously. It's like robots. Efficient robots. But as you slow down, you are more in the movement. That's the whole thing with vipassana, with walking slowly, with eating slowly. We start doing everything slowly. It's just a balance for all that speed, all that unconscious speed. And as you start slowing down, then you will start enjoying and realizing things that you could never feel or sense when you were going fast. Who has time to stop and look at a beautiful flower? Everybody is running past it. No, you have time. And that's why I have to remind you, no, you have time. This is why you are here. So don't get caught up in running away from yourself. Pull yourself back again and again and again. Allow yourself to relax. Then you will start seeing and feeling and realizing things that never would come up if you are just rushing. Then if that integration happens, that you start settling and becoming more and more conscious, more and more aware in every side, every aspect of your life, then you will be able to bring that silence, then that inactivity back into your life again when you are doing things. Because inactivity in the way of the Buddhas doesn't mean that you don't do anything. You are not lethargic, you are not lazy. you are doing it, but you don't lose yourself. You're doing things consciously. You are in contact with your own inner silence, and you still do things. But this you have totally forgotten. Welcome to Satsang. Dear sweet loving Baba, this rebirthing week has been very good for me so far. I love this mix of inquiry and rebirthing. Before we start the sharings, thoughts are coming up. Thoughts that make me feel that I don't have anything good to share, or that what I'm going to share isn't right. That is how the mind is. It will always give you problems. The mind as such is just problems. So I'm training you to function without listening to the mind. Who cares? But when I listen to others, I see that we are sharing much of the same things. It almost feels like a relief to see that I'm not alone with these thoughts and feelings that are coming up in the sharings. Very few people see that, because people just play games. Nobody is at ease, but they are playing, everything is fine. This is what I'm showing you here, to become real. And when you are in the same boat as with other people that wants to be real, then it's very easy. That's the support of the Sangha. That's the support of the family. Things that you could never do alone will happen very easily. The mind always wants to hide. The mind always has secrets. It wants to go in the dark corners. I'm pushing you to bring it out, to see that you are not the mind. Just play with it, whatever it says. It always surprises me that others have it the same way as me. I don't know what I have to be afraid of. But still this feeling of being alone, weird and totally messed up comes up very often. Yeah, it will come up, because that's the only way the mind can feel. To be afraid and to hide being alone. But if you are following the program, if you get into my stew, then it will disappear then. Only if you stay on the outside. Only if you're afraid to look at yourself. Then you can linger, or you can escape and take it, because you have different kinds of people. You have some people that come, they are just like tourists. Tourists, they go all kinds of places and they take photos. They don't get involved. They take photos and then they show it when they go home to the family. Look where I have been. But they never felt. They never got involved. So some people are just like tourists. They never feel. They just look, they observe. Maybe they get one technique. I learned something new, a new technique, a new meditation. I heard something new that was far out. These are just tourists. They never get involved. They are not ready. Then you have some that is like students. They get little involved, little interesting. Students. But they are young students, so you never know. They have some interest, but they also have other interests. Maybe the mind will change and they get a new interest. Something new to study. That is students. Then some people, much deeper, they are ready to become disciples, to get involved. And only for the disciples, these kinds of things is coming up. because you are in the Sangha then. Tourists or students, they can never be involved in the Sangha. They have no idea. They can be with the Buddha, they have no idea where they are. A disciple is something totally different. It's very, very seldom in the world. Now you're ready to learn, you have to start from zero. That you cannot do if there is not trust, if there is no love. In that love, then everything starts getting taught by itself. Then if the disciple get really soaked and have its own realizations, insights, experiences, that is really showing that this is how it is. You're falling more and more in tune. Then you become a devotee. That's how it goes. The rebirthing has been so strong for me. I feel that I managed to let go of something, but I don't really feel that I understand everything that is going on. I guess I don't have to. I can just let it be as it is. Yes, please, Kumud. Don't try to figure it out. Because it's much too big. And the whole past is a huge Mount Everest of stuff. Just let it go. Don't start looking at the small rocks. The whole Mount Everest goes. Don't even think about understanding. Let it go. It's a totally new gate has opened. Listen, you are not in therapy with me. If you go to the therapist, to the psychotherapist, then you have to understand everything. That's why they can go on for 50 years. Laying there on the couch and talking. Look at that rock on this side. Next week we look at the other side. Today this feeling, next week that feeling, and that dream, and this dream, and that thought, and that. Now we look at this side of the rock, and then at this side of the rock, and then at that. Oh no, no, there was something different from that. How come? It's round on that side and flat on that side. What did I do wrong? I don't understand, they say. No, you don't need to understand. The mind wants to understand. This is way beyond the mind. You can't understand. You say, but I don't really feel that I understand everything that is going on. No, because it's too much. You are in the river now. Just enjoy. The student tried to understand, and if the tourist is really a little bit slow, a little bit intelligent, then it tries to understand. But the disciple, it understands on a deeper level. And that understanding is that I don't need to understand. And then is the big relief. Anyway, it feels great and I'm very happy. That's it. Then who cares? But anyway, it feels great and I'm very happy. Who needs to understand if you feel great and are happy? This is, even though, maybe for the first time in your life, and many say that, this has never happened. I feel so happy, I'm so relaxed, I'm so at home. And still you're trying to understand. No, let go. It's something bigger than you, it's something bigger than the mind. The mind cannot understand. The only way to get deeper into this happiness is to let go. That is trust. That is let go. That is surrender. Then something else will flood you then. But even, that's why always be alert, because the mind always wants to hold you back. Anyway, it feels great and I'm very happy. Even though it's very exhausting. It is very exhausting because you're going through many things. And many strong things. You are exhausted if I take you on a walk to the top of the mountain, which I have done many times, but then you are nice and exhausted. But that is nothing compared to when you really go deeper, because it's not the physical body, it's much more deep. And you feel very exhausted, but exhausted in a good way. You're using much deeper energies that you are not used to using. It's much closer to you. You have the physical, you have the mental, you have the emotional. You have deeper and deeper layers. And that can work much deeper. When I have satsang all the time, I can't do anything else. Because I'm only using that energy. It's very exhausting. But it's okay. I'm used to feeling like a wet rag. It's blissful wet rag. It reminds me of a wet rag. It's like you have a wet towel and you throw it in the corner. That's how I feel. I just make it in the satsang. And then I work and I feel you so much, and I work a very deep, like you see. You don't understand it, but so much is happening. After the rebirthing yesterday, it felt as if the body wanted to collapse, and I started to get the cold. Let it collapse. Even though I felt exhausted, I had to go for a walk with the others in the forest. It was so nice to walk with so many friends and enjoy the beautiful view. That is another thing. The energy can easily change. Because you put yourself in a different environment. Suddenly you were very tired. No, the energy came back. And it opened up a totally new thing. Because you have levels and levels and levels of different energy also. And most of you are only in touch with the surface. You have never touched the reserve energy. Because nobody is used to pushing themselves. If you are really exhausted, if you're running for your life and you feel like you can't do anything more, you're collapsing, but you still go on, then a new energy will come down, a deeper energy, and you will get more speed. Sometimes marathon runners, dancers, in sport, they feel that with the physical body. That the same on the mental body, same in the emotional body, you have different. But most people, they stop. They never get in touch with deeper energies. That's why it is good to push yourself, but don't be stupid. The silent sitting we had in nature was just incredible, amazing. Just feeling the sun, the wind touching my skin, listening to the birds and the trees moving, so like they were dancing with the wind. So beautiful, so much beauty. It sometimes feels like a fairy tale, too good to be true, and I never want to leave it. I'm so grateful for all that I get to experience here. Thank you, love, Kumud. Then what do you need to understand with this? This is, let the mind go and enjoy. And you have to be receptive And you are receptive. You are drinking my wine and you're getting more and more intoxicated. That is how it goes. And this walk also, I wanted you to go for the walk. I told people, you have to take them for a walk today. Everything here is my cooking. Huh? I'm very happy you went with it and you enjoyed it. And that was my menu. You were eating it. Hmm? I said, no, we have to. You have to take them for a walk because now it's nice weather. Who knows? Maybe it will rain for a week now. And you have to use the opportunity. Then you enjoy it. Very good. That is how it should be. That's how a disciple, a lover should be. You just do it. You follow. Because you're open, you're trusting. You know this is the best. Very few experience this. Kabir says, standing by a well, a water girl is waiting. She has a bucket in her hand, but no rope. How can she draw the water? The well is too deep. This is how to get in contact with the spring of life. How to go deep. Such was my condition too, standing with no rope, until I met my master. He pointed me in the right direction and showed me what to do. The fog lifted and I found what I was looking for, says Kabir. The fog lifted and I found what I was looking for. Then you don't think, how did the fog lift? You enjoy the sunrise, no? That's what you do. You have forgotten about the fog. Such was my condition too, until I met my master. This is how it has been going on. Beloved Swar, I'm so grateful for your guidance on my path. So happy and nourished by this soul food you give me. Back here in Sweden, the transformation is going on. But my mind still harass me from time to time. And some nights you visit me. Like last night, when I woke up, I sat on the satsang floor, feeling your presence. And you gave me a seed of understanding, and it started to grow. Everything is the same, but different, very different. I'm in love with life now. Yes. Much love and gratitude from Patik, also known as Swami Kavabanga. That is very good. And this is a true dream also that went on after the satsang. Because I gave you a seed of understanding, soul food, but you have to take care of it. That is the thing. You have to take care of it, nourish it. Because a seed is only a seed. You have to make sure that it breaks, that it opens, that it flowers. Beloved Master Svara, I would like to thank you for all the good influence that you have been in my life. At the moment, many things have been coming to allow my being to grow in this harmony. I'm eternally grateful. I'm getting more and more involved in the family here to keep close to you and this beautiful energy that surrounds us. The emotions change quickly here. But this is good. It strengthens my spirit and brings me more courage and energy to live. I'm willing to do anything because it is no longer matters what I like or what I feel. The only thing that really matters is to stay close to you and to be able to see things more and more clearly. I carry with me a familiar pattern of working for money, and here I work for devotion, but I never took any work seriously in my life, because things always come easily. I lack in maturity. I would like to know how I could distinguish the difference between devotional work and work for money. And I also would like to know how it is possible to feel my heart overflowing with love for you and at the same time being so arrogant and insensitive to my brother. Thank you for your compassion, patience and love with me. From Kinsa, your disciple. You speak English now, Kinsa? You say you're getting more and more involved to stay close. The emotions and moods change quickly here. I always said everything will come up. And this is good because you will look at many new things that you could never look at if you had been alone. That is how it is in the mystery school, in the Sangha. Many things will come up. You have to face all this. That's how you grow. That's how you mature. Maturity is not like in the world, to make it in the world. That you can learn. Anybody can learn the rules of the world. Here you have to find out yourself. You have to become yourself. You have to become a mature human being. And this, nobody has taught this, so everybody has to walk their own path. And in the beginning, because there's so much things that has been locked down, many things will come up. Let everything come up and soon it will settle. I'm willing to do anything because it is no longer matters what I like or what I feel. The only thing that really matters is to stay close to you and to be able to see things more and more clearly. Good. Then everything is possible then, because you are not in your own way. As long as you have any ideas how it should be and what you like and what is good and not, for and against, then problem. You just have to be available. I carry with me this pattern of working for money. Yeah, most people work for money, otherwise why would we work? Why would anybody work if it wasn't for money? Yeah, some things, some lucky people, they have things that they love. If you love something, then you don't work for the money. Money come, you work what you love. This is the best. Those are very fortunate. If you find something that you love to do, and still the money comes. That is very good, but that is not ordinary in the world. Most people, they think work is a drag. And here, I work for devotion, but I never took any work seriously in my life because things always come easily. I lack in maturity. But why should you take any work seriously? I'm all for play, I'm not for seriousness. In the world, it's a serious place. There you have to take the work seriously. Here you don't need to take the work seriously because you do it from your heart. That is what devotion is your own understanding. And when you are in something, then you are total then. That is understanding. You do what you love to do. Not for any gain, not for any profit, not for anything, because of your love. You love to do it. That is devotion. That is not the ways of the world. In the ways of the world, you only do something if you get something. It's only for money. Even if you hate your work, you do it. That is nothing. That is, how can you be happy then? You do something that you don't like because of money. Then, much better to do something that you love. Maybe you don't get so much money. But you never had this. I have a feeling also because you say, because things always come easily. So maybe your family is rich, maybe something is provided for you, that life has been easy, you don't need to struggle. Okay, then why look for struggle then? Accept things as they are. Enough people are struggling. If you don't need to work, if you are rich, good. Enjoy. But sometimes also it's very good to do things. I remember I have one of my best friends at one point in my life. He was very, very wealthy. One of the sons to the Greek shipping tycoon, Onassis style. And he never needed to do anything. But I always felt it would be so good if he went out and did something, because he didn't know how it was to really work for the money, to have a hard time. And this is very important also, to see how it is. Then you have to learn by your own understanding. I carry with me a pattern of working for money, and here I work for devotion, but I never took any work seriously in my life because things always come easily. I would like to know how I could distinguish the difference between devotional work and work for money. Well, devotional work, it comes from the heart then. Then there is not a question about money or not, because it's no a devotion. You don't ask for something, you're just happy that you can do it. That is what devotion is. It's almost unheard of in the world. You're just happy, use me. That is devotion, that is surrender. And that only happens in love. It happens here. It happens in the Buddha field, in the Sangha with the Buddha. There it happens because it's come from your own inner. You want to support something that is so beautiful because you have gotten something so beautiful. So anything you can support in this world, work, you are happy. If it's chopping the vegetables or cleaning or money or construction or whatever it is, you just want to get involved. Because you have been touched. That is devotion. It comes from your own self. It comes from your heart. It comes from your soul. That is unknown in the world today, especially in the West. From the outsider, this looks crazy. They only know how to get something, do something if they get something. They're very empty. They have never been touched of something that is higher. That something that is beautiful. That something that is good. That something that is holy. And this devotion, this love, it can never happen if you are not touched by something that is more sacred. And this sacredness is forgotten. So for the outsider, it will always look very strange. Because they don't understand, they have never touched that space. It's like surrender in the ordinary world, that is when you lose. You lose a war, then you have to surrender. That the world understands. But the surrender to a master, that is something that your own understanding, your own deepest understanding, your own realization has realized something. And you are just so happy to lay down. What can you surrender? You can surrender your ego that has always been bothering you. You can surrender your mind that always you've been struggling with. You cannot surrender the real. But this, the world doesn't understand this. And this surrender without an understanding, that is useless, that is ugly. But when it comes from your own realization, then it's very sacred. And not ordinary people feel that. I would also like to know how it is possible to feel my heart overflowing with love for you and at the same time being arrogant and insensitive to my brother. Be compassionate with yourself, Kinsa. Be happy you feel it with me. And did your brother give you this insight? Did you feel that devotion in his presence? No? So first you have to get touched, get integrated. Be happy that you feel that overflowing love. let this settle more, and then one day it will reach your brother too. Let it grow. Don't ask for too much in the beginning. Be patient. Let your understanding go deeper. Be happy with what is happening, and much is happening. The difference between devotional work and work for money. And sometimes you have to work. Maybe you don't like it, no, but you need the money. So what? In the world, many times you have to do compromises. This is just the ways of the world. You have to, it's a different laws. You have to see what is possible and not. You have to be intelligent. If you need something, do it. Many times I worked with things I didn't like. Because they got the best money, get the money and run. Finished. Instead of dragging on, I always went for get best money. I didn't like. I wanted to get much money so I can go to my master. Worked 2 months in Norway, then I was 1 year in India. I can't say I loved it, but it was great. It was what was supposed to happen. Don't make any conflict. Devotional work is something else that is unknown. In India, they say karma yoga. Yeah? You do the work out of your understanding, out of your love. Is to do. Karma yoga, it means to do. Karma, kri, to do. To do something, yoga, union. To do something for union. That is karma yoga. Union with what? With God, with the love, with yourself, with the master. That is karma yoga. Then you don't think about it. And that is more than enough. You're coming closer, you're getting more in tune. That is what they call karma yoga. They don't do it to get any gain. It's selfless service. That is karma yoga. You're just happy to serve. This in the West is only some few people, lucky people in satsang, they understand this kind of language. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's Krishna, he says to Arjuna, surrender all your work unto me, keeping me in your heart, with no desires for profit, no desires for any gain. Just do all your work, whatever you do, for me, he says. That's what all the masters are saying, because then you are safe. You don't do it for yourself. It's not an ego fulfillment. You do it for the beloved. Keeping me always in the heart, says Krishna. Keep that which you really love, that which reminds you, keep that in your heart. And I will make you free. That is union. That is karma yoga. That is the whole thing what Krishna teaches Arjuna. Selfless service. You find something. This can only happen from the heart, from the soul, when you have been touched. Touched by Krishna. Touched by love. Touched by consciousness. Then this happens in spite of you. You just want to be available then. And then out of that, then happiness, bliss, peace, gratitude, tears, all this comes. look at this mystic, he says, without devotion, all you are is a beast of burden. He puts it straight. Without devotion, all that you are is a beast of burden. You are no more than an animal. So that's what the mystic is saying to the human beings. And who has touched devotion? Who has touched love? He's going straight to the point. That's why the people doesn't want to listen to them. It hurts. Because they don't know any devotion, they don't know any love. Without devotion, all you are is a beast of burden. 9 to 4, you would say now. You work 9 to 4. They didn't say it in Kabir's time. You will need 4 legs and horns on your head. That's what you would need. You look like a human being, but you need 4 legs and horns on your head. Yeah, these people, you don't fuck around, they tell it like it is. I'm telling you because you can understand this is the situation. And keep your mouth shut, neck in a leash, and hauling heavy loads, break your back, beaten by sticks, eat all straw, work in the field, endure hot and cold, and work to death. That is the life of an ordinary human being. You don't know anything else. You're just a beast of burden. You need 4 legs. You have 2, you are in a human birth, but you don't know. You don't know your potential. So your whole life, you will just keep your mouth shut. You don't say anything, you just follow, like, bleh. Neck in a leash. Anybody can put your string around your neck and lead you, any idiot. And haul heavy loads, break your back. You can do anything. You, any work, you are not conscious, you just work. Sardine factory, your whole life. Break your back, beaten with sticks. And I have seen many. Physically, human beings, I have seen it. In India, the bosses, they beat them with sticks, the poor people. In all poor countries, the boss, they love it because it gives them power. They beat the people who work for them, like slaves all day. And eat all straw, work in the fields, endure hot and cold, and work to death. I say, beloved friends, take interest in the subject of devotion now. You only reap what you sow. He's hinting, please, friends, take interest. Now, when you are alive, wake up a little bit, take interest in the field of devotion. That is the gate out. You only reap what you sow. Be careful what you sow, that's what you reap. And when you started something, maybe you have to go through it before you are finished with it. So be very conscious what you start. Sudra says, without devotion, life is wasted, just chasing illusions. And that's what most people are doing, just chasing illusions. Don't waste your life. Take the interest of love, of devotion, of peace, and step out. Out of that unconscious circle where you just function like an animal. You are a human being. You have the potential to become a god in this life. Om Shanti. That's how it is. And happy are those, blessed are those who cease it.